Brother Mahan has been my pastor all my life, since I was born. And how I have been so thankful to have you as my pastor. And like Tom, every time we write, I sign it, your son, in the gospel. And that's what I think of you. I thought of one thing that I think says everything. Back in 1988, I became very ill. Thought I was going to die. And I was in the hospital for 2 full months. Didn't get out. And my vision was blurred. I couldn't even read. And all I had to do was just lay there on my back and think after I got out of the woods, so to speak, and it looked like I was going to get better. And there was something that was on my mind constantly, that I was able to look at death without fear, looking forward to it for this one reason. It is finished. All my hope is in those words. It is finished. That's the first thing that I felt truly thankful for while I laid there. Couldn't read. Like I said, my vision was blurred. Couldn't read. I just had to lay there and think. Tell them to get me things. But the second thing that impressed me so much is I was so thankful that the Lord had given me a pastor who was more concerned about me knowing the Lord's name than His name. Now that says everything. I never was part of your program or ministry. You wanted me to know the Lord. And what more could I say than that? So thankful to have you as my pastor. Would you turn with me to Luke chapter 11? And while you're turning there, I want to read a couple of verses of Scripture out of that only Psalm, Psalm 62, that just caught my attention. It all caught my attention, but it says in verse 9 of Psalm 62, "Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity." You know, the other day I heard on the radio the 5 most powerful men in the United States, and I thought, they got no power. None at all. None. They might think they have power, but they have none. The Lord puts things in perspective for us, doesn't He? Luke 11. Let's read these first 4 verses. Now, I have struggled with a title for this message, but I'm going to title it, "What is a Christian?" What is a Christian? And you and I can find out what a Christian is by reading this prayer that the Lord gave us to pray. Verse 1, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place..." Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? The Scripture says he spent all night in prayer at times, in communion with his Father. And I love even thinking about that. Our Lord praying to his Father. And the disciples were watching. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that's indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You know, a believer, a Christian, can be defined in so many different ways in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I preached a message out of Galatians chapter 2, and I entitled it, "What is a Christian?" You know, really, every time we preach, we're, who is Christ? What did He accomplish? What is a Christian? That's in every message we bring. But if you want to know if you're a Christian, you can leave this place knowing whether or not you're a real Christian by this prayer our Lord gave us. Now, I'm interested in this. I think of Acts chapter 11, where they were first called Christians in Antioch. They didn't call themselves Christians. People called them that. There was a reason for it. And I want to be one of these people called Christians, don't you? And I want to know if I really am a real Christian, someone God in Christ has done something for. And we can see this from this prayer. Now, everybody at one time or another has prayed. Every human being on the face of this planet at one time or the other has prayed. You know, someone once said there's no atheists in foxholes, and you know that's true. Somebody gets in trouble, I don't care what nationality they are, what kind of race they are. If there's a God out there, help me. Help me. If I'm sick, heal me. If I'm in trouble, get me out of this trouble. Prove yourself. Everybody has prayed some kind of prayer. But the Lord gave us some valuable instruction when He talked about that publican and that Pharisee who prayed. And He said the Pharisee stood and prayed, how? Thus with himself. God didn't hear him pray. His prayer wasn't getting any farther than the ceiling. He stood and prayed thus with himself. So when we talk about everybody praying, everybody has prayed, but not everybody's prayed to the Lord. They prayed to themselves. But here our Lord teaches us how to pray. Now, when the Lord knocked Paul off of his horse on the way to Damascus and spoke to Ananias, what did he say? He said, "You go after Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." He never had before. Oh, he'd gone through the motions many times, just like the Pharisee. But he never prayed before. Behold, he prayeth. Prayer is the breath of faith. Where you have one, you have the other. And once again, the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us what a Christian really is in prayer. I want to repeat. Prayer is the breath of faith. Every believer is a praying man or woman. Every single one of them. Now, in this prayer, we're first taught by our Lord to pray as an our, we, or us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. A Christian is someone in this great group of our, us, and we. Those who are united to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when the Lord came up to John the Baptist to be baptized, you can imagine John saying, "I need to be baptized of thee, and comest out of me?" How would you feel if the Lord Jesus Christ came to you and said, "I want you to baptize me"? You'd feel unequal to the task. Well, you feel, "I got no business doing this." But the Lord said, "Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." He didn't say, "Thus it becometh me to fulfill righteousness for you," although he did in fact do that. He said, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Everything the Lord Jesus Christ did, He did as an us. Now this us is the same us that Paul spoke of in Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, I want to pray as an us, don't you? All of God's people are united. And this is the way our Lord taught us to pray. Being united to Him, being one in Him. Both He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause, He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed of me. I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. Oh, may we always be aware of this thing of our, we, us. You know, I was thinking, I'm just as much part of this church as I am part of Todd Grove Grace Church. It's all His church. And we're an us. We're in a we. We're an our. Our Father. The Christian is a child of God. We cry, Abba, Father. The believer, the Christian, is a child of God. The Lord said to one group, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you'll do. He's not everybody's father, but He is the Father to all Christians. Now, how is a child of God a child of God? Well, by adoption. By adoption. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ into Himself. Now, in adoption, there's a choice made. He chose me. He adopted me in His family. So I'm an adopted child. But I'm more than an adopted child. I'm a born child. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born. Which were born. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. Listen to this scripture. Whoso believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born, birth of God. Beloved, if in your heart you believe, I'm not asking you right now if you believe you're a Christian. I'm asking you, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ? Do you believe that He is the very Word of God, God's prophet? Do you believe He's God's priest? That if He represents you before the Father, you must be saved because of who He is. Do you really believe He's God's King? He's the King. He's the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Do you believe that? Beloved, if you do, you're born of God. You're a child of God. You're a Christian. That's what a Christian is. He's someone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. And that is being born of God. What's the evidence that I'm a child? For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. That's the evidence. Are you relying, right now, are you relying on Jesus Christ as all you have to bring you into glory? Are you relying on Him? That's what's called faith. Faith. I rest. I trust Him. That's what a child of God is. Our Father. Our Father. Who art in heaven. And here's the next thing a Christian is. He's a worshiper. Hallowed be Thy name. A Christian is somebody who worships God. His name is who He is. His name is the person behind the name. His name is all of His most glorious and excellent attributes. His name is His holiness, is His power, is His sovereignty, is His wisdom, is His glory. That's His name. That's who He is. And you know what every Christian says? Hallowed, holy, reverend, is Thy name. Every Christian is a worshiper of God. hallowed be thy name. You know, I remember one time I was reading a commentary on this, and the fellow said, well, what that means is, let your name be glorified. And I thought, no, his name is glorified. Hallowed be thy name. We worship him for who he is. You know, somebody doesn't worship him for who he is, they don't worship him at all. Now, they that worship him, the scripture says, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Two requisites for worship. God the Holy Spirit. You know you can't worship him unless God the Holy Spirit enables you. And the truth. The truth of who he is. How he saves sinners by his grace. Paul said, we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice. We glory in Christ Jesus. He's all of our confidence. And we have no confidence in the flesh. A Christian is a worshiper of God. When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. A Christian is a subject of his kingdom. He's the king. We're his subjects. It's the same kingdom that the thief knew about when he was hanging on the cross. He knew that one on the cross was not a defeated reformer. He said, Lord, remember me when you return as a mighty conquering king in your kingdom. He knew. He knew. So does every other Christian. He's the king of this mighty, glorious kingdom. Now, a kingdom has a jurisdiction. His jurisdiction is everything and everywhere. He's a glorious king over all things. He's in absolute control of all things. And we want his kingdom to come, don't we? Don't you look forward, I mean, his kingdom's already here, but don't you look forward to when all opposition is put down and every knee is made to bow the knee to King Jesus. A believer is a subject of his kingdom. And next he says, to teach us to pray, Thy will be done. A Christian not only is a subject of his kingdom, a Christian is a willing servant. Thy will be done. And if your will crosses my will, let my will be crossed. Thy will be done. That's what we want more than anything else. We really mean that. Thy will be done. Whatever it is, thy will be done. You see, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. That's what's so amazing about our Lord. You know me and you can't make anybody willing, can we? Can't make ourselves willing. He can. He does. Every Christian, this is the very desire of their heart. Thy will be done. Verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. A Christian is someone who's poor and needy, has nothing, and is completely dependent upon the charity of God for everything. You know, you only pray about what you don't have any control over. What you don't have any power in. That's what you pray about. You know, you can't get it done. And you ask the Lord, give me. Give me my daily bread, whatever it is I need materially, whatever I need to eat, whatever I need emotionally, whatever I need spiritually. Give me what I need. I'm always poor and I'm always needy. And I need my daily bread. I can't come up with it. I'm completely dependent upon you at all times for all things. That's what a Christian is. He's one who's dependent. Now, would that be you? Would this describe you? Do you feel this about yourself? Verse 4. And forgive us our sins. A Christian is a sinner. Matter of fact, only Christians are sinners. Now, what's a sinner? Well, John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, sin is the transgression of the law. So a sinner is someone who breaks God's holy law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Sin is putting something before God. The commandment, second, against idolatry, making graven images or false ideas of God. Sin is making a false image or idol of God to fit your own thoughts and your own ways and to make things convenient for yourself. Sin is taking His name in vain. It's a failure to have a proper reverence for His holy name. Sin is failing to rest. Failing to rest. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, a commandment to rest. Sin is a failure to honor authority. It's a failure to honor your parents as you should or any other God-given authority. Sin is murder. Murdering people's bodies, murdering people's characters by innuendo and slight. Sin is sexual sin, committing adultery in your mind. Sin is stealing, being a thief, taking that which doesn't belong to you. Sin is lying, bearing false witness, not telling the truth. Even when you tell the truth, you're putting a slant on it to make yourself look better. Sin is covetousness, desiring that which God hadn't given you. Sin is the transgression of the law. A sinner is someone who breaks the law. Let me tell you this about a sinner. Here's what a sinner is. A sinner is somebody who all they do is sin. They cannot not sin. They cannot look down their nose in moral superiority at anybody. They know it. And a sinner is someone who has absolutely no claims on God. If he passes me by, just and holy is His name. A Christian is a sinner who needs the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how I need my sins forgiven, blotted out, put away, canceled. If we confess our sins, if we agree with God regarding our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, a Christian is a sinner who needs the forgiveness of sins. Oh, how I'm a sinner who needs the forgiveness of sins. But notice what else he says, and this is just as important. He says in verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. A Christian is someone who forgives. When we pray to God, forgive me of my sins, I'm actually saying, forgive me as I forgive others. Now that's what the Lord says. Let me give you five real brief good reasons to forgive. The Lord said, if you forgive not men your trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. That's a pretty good reason to forgive, isn't it? The Lord said that. Secondly, we will be forgiven in the same manner we forgive. The Lord says that. Forgive us our debts as we, in the same manner as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Thirdly, if we forgive, we'll be happier people. You know, there's nothing more miserable than being outraged at somebody for supposed wrongdoing. You feel bad, you're mad, I shouldn't be treated this way, you become bitter, resentful. How miserable does that make you? I'd be a whole lot happier to freely forgive. Make me a happier person. Fourth, if we fail to forgive, Satan has the advantage over us. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 10. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgive I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We forgive. When we forgive, and I want to say this reverently as I know how. It's the nature of God to forgive. That's one of the glorious things of His person. You know, when He proclaimed His name before Moses, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, abundant in goodness and mercy and truth, that will by no means clear the guilty. But it's His very nature to forgive. And the most godlike thing me or you can do is forgive. Truly forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our sins. So what is a Christian? He's a sinner who needs forgiveness. He's a sinner who forgives. Verse 4. Lead us not into temptation. A Christian is someone who is so weak that he can't face temptation. And he asks the Lord, don't let me be tempted. Don't let me even be tempted. I'm so weak. I'm so sinful. If the temptation comes toward me, I'll fall. I don't want it to happen. Lead me not into temptation. Lead me not into trial. You know, I want to get out of trials any way I can. I want to just believe God. I don't want to be tried. Now, I know I'm going to have trials. And I know you're going to have trials. But Lord, lead me not into temptation. Cause me to just believe your word where I don't have to be tried. Don't let me even be tempted because I know what will happen when I'm tempted. Don't let it happen. Put a hedge around me. Encircle me. Enclose me. Let me not be tempted. I'm too weak. What a blessing it is to be weak, though. That's when you pray not to be tempted. When you're strong, you can handle it. Yeah. When you're weak, when I'm weak, Paul said, then am I strong. A Christian is one who prays, I'm so weak. Don't let me even be tempted. Now, is that your prayer? Is that in your heart? Well, you're a Christian. And finally, the Lord teaches us to pray, deliver us from evil. A Christian is someone who cries out, deliver us from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. I'm no match for him. I don't want to be turned over to him. I don't want to be left to myself. Deliver me from the evil one. Protect me. Deliver me from this evil world. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Pleasure. Popularity. Power. Those are those temptations. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. The pride of life. Deliver me from that. I get swallowed up by it. Deliver me from that. Most especially, Deliver me from me. I am the evil one. You know, when the Lord was speaking to His disciples in this same chapter, He said, if you then being what? Evil. That's what the Lord said. He was speaking to His disciples. Does anybody say, do it? Who's He talking to? No, you know, don't you? You know. If you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit good things to them that ask Him? A Christian is someone who needs rescued, delivered from evil. Deliver me from Satan. Peter heard the Lord say this to him, Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you. In the Lord teaching us to pray, He teaches us what a Christian is. One of the great group called us, we, and our. The same us as if God be for us. Who can be against us? Those who are united to Christ. The same us of which Christ said, thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. A Christian is a child. A Christian is a worshiper. A Christian is a subject of the kingdom. A Christian is a servant praying for God's will to be done. A Christian is one who's completely dependent upon the charity of God. A Christian is a sinner needing the forgiveness of sins. A Christian is one who forgives. A Christian is one who realizes he's so weak he doesn't even want to be tempted. A Christian is one who needs the Lord to rescue him from evil. Is that you? Beloved, you are a Christian. Amen.